This is RSBNB Update, episode 517, recorded Friday, May 15th, 2015. Shane never said such a thing. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. This week, of course, Earth is back, as everyone has expected him to be. Say hello, Earth.
Hello, Earth.
Hi. So nice to have you sitting in with us here. Yes, okay.
Yep, I agree.
Good.
Are you sitting?
And I'm sitting. And that is also King Kala, a.k.a. Patrick, global moderator on RSBNB and pretty much runs the Informer these days. He's back, and I'm hoping he's going to give us a straight answer this time.
You also forgot one title, Shane. I'm also the person who didn't get married on RuneScape.
Yes, that's true. That implies there's more than one, though. And, RSBNB update-wise, I'm pretty sure Paul is the only one to do that.
We can all be the people that didn't get married on RuneScape, Shane. It's an inclusive club.
Yes. Not that I encourage people to, you know, do that on RS, but anyways, so we have some updates to discuss.
We here at RSBNB Update, we wholly support monogamy.
Indeed. Yes.
Whoa, okay. Shane. Whoa.
All right.
No wonder you like Mitt Romney.
Oh, boy.
Here we are. Jeez, 30 seconds in.
More like a minute and a half. But anyways, this week we got the improved looting system, which was featured on the beta server for a good amount of time. And I don't know. I think this update kind of embodies laziness.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, that just steals the show, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. I don't think we have anything more to discuss here.
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on.
No, we're just kidding. We're not moving on from that. But basically...
Shane, worriedly.
Yes, worriedly. But when you click on an item now, by default, the new looting system is enabled, and you'll be shown a thing of, or an inventory rather, of items that are on the stack that you clicked in. Then you can click in this little box and choose what you want to keep, and there's a convenient loot all button. And you can
do
that.
So where do I access this?
Well, it's enabled by default.
Options. I see it.
And then there's looting options in the general game options. I think they did a pretty good thing of enabling it for everyone by default, because not everyone always goes into the options and looks for something like that. So, and I mean, you're not really losing anything by having this system enabled. And when you have it enabled, it speeds
Wait,
up
so
your killing.
Should I check everything out? Should I check everything?
Well, that's the thing. By default, it will pick everything up. But if you enable filters, it'll only pick up what you want. So you need to be mindful of whether you want to keep, you know, the fletching supplies, the smithing supplies, the crafting supplies, that
so
kind of thing.
So if I leave everything unchecked, then everything will be picked up.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. That's not clear.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's kind of like an inverse filter kind of thing, where the filter starts when you start adding ticks on the checkbox.
So this option, right-click to open interface, what does that mean?
Well, that basically means is that whether you left-click or right-click, you'll get the same interface. And if you enable the right-click one, you're actually unable to pick up items as you used to do in-game.
All right, so leaving that unchecked. Although you have to go in and check, use area loot.
Yes, and now that's the interesting thing. Three squares around you, if you enable area loot, you click, and things in that immediate vicinity will also appear in that loot box. So it's a good way of cleaning up, you know, after Waterfian Task or the Ascension Dungeon, that kind of thing, where there's lots of little small drops from little creatures that you might have missed. So it's definitely worth looking into doing that if you're interested in everything. And, you know, one thing that kind of jumped out at me when this update was first presented to us on the beta server, it was picking up charms, believe it or not. Mm. So I don't know if it picks up charms in the version that went live, but if that does, I think that severely devalues the Charming Imp.
Well, I just bought that, so woo! That'll be fine. That way I don't actually have to click. And, like, if you do rock lobsters or whatever, you don't want to move.
Right.
Like, ever.
And you see, that's the thing. When rock lobsters first came out, we didn't have a Charming Imp. So it was a lot more dangerous back then, believe it or not.
It wasn't a rock.
Oh.
Rock lobster? The song? No?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Good.
But anyways.
It's an experience, that song.
Yeah, I'm not very experienced when it comes to musical masterpieces like that, so it's okay. But there's also an option that I think is interesting that lets you filter by GP value, so if you don't want anything less than 50k turning up, you can just turn that off and leave the rest as trash on the floor.
Cool.
I'm not going to be using that because I prefer, you know, to just go through it and, you know, you might get like a rune longsword or a rune plate body or a rune chain.
There is now a new loot
like
system. This can be enabled, disabled, and configured within gameplay settings by using the new loot options button. So this nifty little inventory thing came up.
Yes, and that's the box that you
work
with mainly.
Oh, that's obnoxious. I just click on the coins, but it doesn't actually pick it up.
Yep.
Ooh, that's annoying.
See, there's
no way.
Can I
make it automatically pick up everything that I click on?
No, you have to click the button.
Boo.
So it effectively makes it a two-click procedure, whereas, I mean, before it would be...
I mean, I guess it does pick everything up.
Yes, and you can say loot all and just be done with it and then sort out the mess later in your inventory if you so choose. And, I mean... I don't get why the right-click option was even added, because when you think about it, that seems like a pretty stupid idea to give someone the option to say, oh, you can't even use the old system before by right-clicking, when, quite honestly, that should be the way to use the old loot system. But, of course, we're in the era of Togglescape, so nothing like that surprises me anymore.
Yay!
But yeah, Herblore, Prayer, lots of categories on that regard. So, you think you're going to use any of the categories or just pick everything up?
I pick everything up already, so this will just make my life a little more, or my bank space a little more tight.
Yeah, well, you can purchase bank boosters for that. All right. I don't really think there's much else to say about the new looting system. I mean, it works.
I mean, you just click on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did go for an extra 7 minutes on that. You guys wanted to end it about 10 seconds in, but anyways.
You just click on it, guys. Yeah.
As I said, it's the epitome of laziness. I don't see, like, I understand the utility of something like this, but why? Why is this in game?
Why not?
Okay, so you just think it should, what we should keep adding things into game that are suggested by the community that, you know, are basically redundant?
Sure, why not?
How about you, Mr. Kala?
Oh, I don't know. Well, honestly, we were just trying to steal you away to a different topic there, but no, it seems okay to me, but even before when I was doing thieving, it didn't seem like that big of a deal anyways. I mean,
Do you think?
Hopefully it wasn't. Yeah, I don't. Hopefully it wasn't that big of a priority for them, and that they didn't use that many resources on.
Well,
it,
I mean, this was a ninja team. This was a ninja team job, practically, as was almost everything in the current combat beta that's there, minus the death and ability changes. So, but
well, good for them, I suppose. I mean, it's not really much else to say.
Yeah, I mean,
if it works, then it works for you, and use it. And then if it doesn't, then you just go back to the old system, right?
It just sits. It's just confirming the modern norms to me. That's all. That's all I'm going to say about this. And I mean, you can look at the world, you can look at RS, and everything seems to be trending in the same general direction. Whether you live in Australia, America, or Canada, things are going the same way. So, and I guess it's only logical for that kind of thing to happen on RS. And, well, as we all know, there's lots of choice in everything we do these days. So I guess that's the explanation for Togglescape. I mean, I didn't solely intend there to shoot my arguments bubble in the air and let it come crashing down, but I guess that's it.
Hmm.
Basically, all I'm saying is this just doesn't sit well with me, but, well, it's a toggle, and that's the way things are these days, right?
The phrase, what are you really angry about, comes to mind.
Well, I'm not angry about anything. Making peace with various decisions is a very key aspect to leading a happy life.
All right, Shane.
Yes. All right, so the patch notes this week. I got a couple of things I'd like to share with you all here.
Y'all.
I said you all, believe it or not. But
you said y'all, that's
you
bullshit.
You said y'all.
No, I did not. I said you all, but players can no longer become trapped inside the rocky walls within Sarah Doman's encampment at the God Wars dungeon.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, nobody wants to get stuck behind an invisible wall, right? So.
Correct.
Usage of various jewelry using their last charge will display a message in red for increased visibility. So this is things like the dueling ring, Amulet of Glory, even the elf teleport crystals are on there, so that's nice. I know I've been bitten by this many a time while runecrafting that, oh, I forgot to change out to a new dueling ring. I have to walk to Edgeville now.
Loser.
Yeah. Some blocking on Shiloh Village's jungle plants have been removed in order to make switching fishing spots easier. And you know why this happened, right, Reed?
No.
Because lots of people are fishing at Shiloh Village to complete their aquarium.
Oh, I see.
And there's been a set of jungle plants on the, I believe, north side of the river there that interfere with switching fishing spots because your player needs to run all the way around these jungle plants in order to change fishing spot if it's on the north side of the river. And that's what we're talking about here being fixed. So that's a nice little thing, I think.
Cool.
Enchanted and Grim Gems can now be equipped in your pocket slot. So this means, you know, your Slayer check thing and your Boss Slayer gem. You can check those and have them in your pocket. Though I think if you're slaying, you have better things to put in your pocket. Like a Scrimshaw. Yeah. Or a Charming Imp. Or a Bone Crusher.
Yeah.
But anyways, anything from you guys on the patch notes?
The debug layer, which contains FPS and other stats, is now movable. I like that.
Yeah, it took him about two and a half years to do, but okay, that's good. I don't know what...
The only thing I can say is that I'm really disappointed at these patch notes. There's nothing funny in them at all. Normally there's at least one in there that's really humorous. But I don't see anything that's funny. Ugh.
Yeah,
they
like
gotta step. They got to step it up.
Yeah, there was one where
amusing bugs.
The woman named Miss Schism in Drainer Village was levitating on her chair once, and that was fixed.
Oh, good.
Yeah, things like that, or people's heads just randomly disappearing. That's funny, but
if there's people's heads disappearing, that might explain some of the lack of common sense among the NPCs, right?
Kill. They lost their heads. Kill.
I believe that's my one joke of the day.
Oh, I thought the one you did earlier was a joke, too.
I'm not sure what I did earlier.
Neither am I. It wasn't funny then.
It's a shame joke. It's not supposed to be funny.
That's right.
I had no idea.
It's funny because it's an attempt to be funny that fails miserably, right?
I haven't tried to be funny yet today.
I have not tried to have fun yet today.
I didn't say that, but anyways.
I've never said such a thing.
Yes, slim patch notes this week, but... Well, that's, I guess, what we get some weeks. Mm-hmm. All right. Jagex has also provided us with a new convenient index of all the lore entries, and you can find that at runescape.com/lore. A whole bunch of them there. I mean, going back, way back to September 2008, talking about the gnomes and, I mean, Fall of the Six. Lots of interesting things here.
You could say there's a lore of them. Oh, yeah.
Ayo.
A what?
A lot of them.
Oh.
A lore of them.
A lot of them.
All right, then.
There's my joke for the minute.
For the minute? Wow, okay. Anyways, this week we do have a new... very large and very exhaustive entry written by Reldo talking about Zemmerigel and a whole bunch of interesting things.
Whoa, hold on. It was written by Reldo?
I believe so,
Have the NPCs achieved consciousness?
Well, the top here part says it was Reldo. This is my latest transliteration gleaned from the scraps of yellowed papyrus and rough etchings on ceramic tablets found around the ruins of Northwest Ardoyan, and so on and so forth. And then it says, this warrants further research, and then it's signed off by Reldo.
Wow, they've got the internet in RuneScape? My goodness.
Yeah, but this thing...
They think they're people now. This is slightly terrifying.
Oh yeah, of course, any NPC can be a person.
What about the lesser demons, Shane?
Well, demons
aren't people. Can they be people?
Demons aren't people, so no.
Hey, demons are people too.
You are
profiling, discriminating.
All right. Well, if anyone's interested, you can read this at runescape.com/lore. It's a grand total of about 6,000 words long and 12 pages of text. So definitely some good nighttime reading. And that's 12 pages of 8.5x11 Helvetica 12-point.
It's like you printed it out?
No. I just put it into a pages document just to see how big it was. But
cool.
Anyways, moving on from that, I know there's lots of you lore people out there, so if you want to enlighten us, please do. I'm not going to read 12 pages of what Reldo has to say. If I need to talk to Reldo, I'll go see him in Varrok.
Lot of hate.
No, I like Reldo. He's a good NPC. Anyways. As mentioned in the previous 2 weeks, May is the month where Jagex is looking for ideas for Halloween. And, of course, they're using Rune Labs for this year, and we have our selected ideas of things we'd like to see happen. I grabbed two of them, mainly because the one I actually want to happen is very, very far back in the support and only has 40 total supporters, so you guys should definitely support it. But basically, it's called the Headless Spider, which is a pumpkin contest. The Headless Spider is built upon the legend of Sleepy Hollow, much like the Snoverlord.
Hollow?
It says hollow in the description.
Hello?
Hello.
Much like the Snoverlord, the Headless Spider will be a community event consisting of battling a large, spooky spider and jack-o'-lantern face with 8 scary eyes. Bring the spider to Drainer Manor, where Death has set up a trap to help finish him off. When you defeat the spider, each player gets an enchanted pumpkin seed that can be used at any allotment, harvesting small or large pumpkins. The largest pumpkins have the highest chance of being traded in for a rare holiday reward. So I'm going for this one because it's conventional Halloween with a bit of RuneScape thrown in. And deals with pumpkins, which, I mean, we haven't had since way back in 03. And for the longest time, I've said, let us grow pumpkins at Halloween with farming. And because of that, I think this would be a very good idea for everyone to go support. So that's the Headless Spider, a.k.a. the Pumpkin Contest. And you can find a link to this Rune Labs idea in our show notes at update.rsbnb.com. And the second one that I think is more realistic that will actually get voted in is Halloween in the Dimension of Disaster, a.k.a. the mirror universe of RuneScape that we used for the 200th quest. So basically, alternate histories of previous Halloween events. So there's my two. But I'm more excited about the Headless Spider.
I don't think that one's going to happen.
Yeah, because, neither of these ones. But we can
No. The one in the mirror universe, because that's a quest and that had requirements. And usually, no, always the events are no requirements.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yeah.
So, eh. And mine is Spookiness in the Lumbridge Swamp, because it's a swamp. Right?
Yeah, lots of dead stuff there.
And it's a swamp.
Yeah, you might find some decapitated bodies or body limbs.
They're all the NBCs that lost their heads.
I mean, to get your zombie head back, you go dig in the Lumbridge Swamp, right?
Yeah, so why not have a Halloween event in the Lumbridge Swamp?
Yeah, I like it.
And I mean, that's one of the most underutilized areas of RS aside from the Nexus and the Water Altar.
That's oddly specific.
Well, yeah, that's really all you can do in the Lumbridge Swamp unless you're taking the little back shed to the moon, the fairy place.
Zanaris.
Yes, that's right. I was blanking on the name for a moment. All right, so what does Spookiness in the Lumbridge Swamp entail?
Death scares the shit out of people in Illinois.
All right. Is that what it says?
No.
Oh, okay.
You said you wanted me to tell you what it was about, and I just explained it.
All right, and what's the reward going to be?
In addition to the lamps awarded from spooking each character, spooking all of the free-to-play characters will complete the main event and award some cosmetic stuff, such as a "too spooky for me" emote.
Oh, this would actually be a good one. I'll put my support behind this.
Damn right you will.
Yeah. All right. There's another good one. Very nice. Hopefully one of these wins.
Yeah?
All the supporters won. I'm guessing that's you.
What? That had 40 before.
Oh,
Jagex!
Now it says 2 when I click support.
Jagex! You broke it!
It did say 40 and now it says 2. Shane, what did you do? You... You claimed your support, and therefore everyone else did want to.
Okay, so we found an error in JAGX. All right, hold on. I'm sending you guys a screenshot. So this is sorted by number of supporters. So, like, it goes 45, 42, 2. That's this idea. And then 40, 39.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God.
Shane, you broke it.
I never did such a thing. How would I do that?
I don't know. You tell me.
How does something go to two supporters?
Well,
you're the computer science guy.
You should ask Mitt Romney.
He had far more than two supporters.
Well, how much good did that do him, huh?
Believe that in the history books.
Patrick.
What's yours?
I'm just trying to think of the third Mitt Romney supporter. I know of his wife and Shane, but who's the third?
His accountant.
Right, mine. Okay. So I kind of looked through the list very glancingly, but I found one that was called Trick or Treat Candy Bags. And the idea for Halloween was to give out candy bags on all over RuneScape World. We would have to find Halloween candies to unlock a cosmetic appearance of a certain, you know, Halloween-themed thing like werewolf, grim reaper, vampire, or pumpkin. To acquire candy, you have to choose trick or treat. Trick would present you with a riddle or puzzle to gain a greater amount of candy, whereas picking treat would present you with a lesser amount. And at the end of the event, whoever has the most candy receives some reward for going door-to-door trick-or-treating all over RuneScape. So it's kind of like an exploration thing where you have to go, you have to traverse across RuneScape, I think. I don't know, it just sounded kind of cool to me.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of an expansion on, I believe, either the 06 or 07 Halloween where we did trick-or-treating in Lumbridge. And we had to scare people and then give them a treat or vice versa. So, seven supporters on that one. So if it sounds interesting, you can support it. And
it's more than two.
Yeah.
Woo! Shane broke it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, if you want to find our supported ideas, just head on over to update.rsbeamy.com and you can find all of them here.
Nice plug.
Yeah. Wow.
Yay.
That's a really interesting sort.
What, numerical?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
There's no way something like that should happen. I mean,
Jagexed.
Yeah?
Jagexed.
Yeah. Let me read you the Urban Dictionary definition for Jagexed.
Oh, this should be good.
Jagex, to get cut off when your expectations are the highest. Something you get used to once you've been playing the games of Jagex.
When your expectations are the highest. But this is Rune Labs. Our expectations aren't that high, are they?
Eh.
It's Rune Labs. The ideas are you know, a trinket above support that you would find in the official forums.
I don't think
forums.
That's what that word means.
Okay, a smidgen. The ideas here are a smidgen better than you would find in the official forums.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Yeah.
I think you might be giving them too much credit. They are the official forums, after all.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about some actual trinkets. The dragon trinkets. From Treasure Hunter.
So I haven't gotten any of these. Have you,
you
should have
got some on login.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you get 75 when you log in today.
What?
Yeah.
Jagex, stop putting stuff in my inventory.
Did you open Treasure Hunter today?
Yes.
Oh, well, you should have definitely.
Usually I just send everything to the bank. Hold on. Let me go look.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, good. Mike reports
that... Oh, I have 150 of them.
Hang on. Mike reports that the Halloween in the Lumberj Swamp is showing 42 once again.
Yeah, if you just, like, log out or something, it should fix it.
Good.
But still, Jagexed.
Yeah. All right, back on track. So you can use these dragon trinkets to pick up and note dragon bones and dragon hides. They also give Slayer XP on kill. No assignment is required, but this XP does stack with any assignment you might have. And they can also perform Draconic Death Blows, which is a 5% chance to, each time you hit the dragon, to instantly kill any dragons above 80% life points. So this means that if you do 3 hits, you'll have 3 5% chances to kill this dragon if it stays above 80% life points. This does not work on the Queen Black Dragon or King Black Dragon. This is going to be pretty OP for Mithril Dragons, Steel Dragons, that kind of thing.
OP means nerf.
Yep.
Doesn't it say it's just for Chromatic Dragons, which includes green, blue, red, and black?
Whoops, you're right. You're right.
Please.
Thank you for pointing that out. I missed the little asterisk there. But, anyways, you can also teleport to dragon locations, so that's nice.
Oh, boy.
And then, of course, you can also use these trinkets. Each time you kill one, in a certain amount will disappear. So, for example, 1 for each baby dragon, 2 for the adult, and all the way up to 10 for the KBD, 15 for the QBD, for each time you use the Slayer XP on them. So,
oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, but do we really need this many dragon hides coming into the game this weekend? I mean, I understand that crafting with dragon hide is profusely expensive, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be fine. Yeah, maybe it's a narrow enough promotion that it won't matter that much.
It'll be fine.
Yes.
Jagex has done worse things to the economy, and we're still here.
That's true. That's very true.
So.
Anyways, it should also be noted that you can't use these on the Iron Man characters because, well, Iron Man don't have access to Treasure Hunter.
Hooray!
All right. So, as we know, later this month they're going to be doing a spotlight on a whole variety of the mini-games and, you know, distraction and diversion type things that are out there. And one of the ones they're aiming to improve is the Artisan's Workshop. So there is a forum topic in the Ninja Forum that you can post on if you're interested in providing your view on, you know, what could be done with the Artisan's Workshop, because that's a piece of content that not too many people go to these days. So here's some of the ideas they have for it. Making burial armor work in a similar manner to the Hef and Serenity posts. That's nice, I think. Look into adding offhand ceremonial swords as potential rewards. Toggle to stop receiving perfect ceremonial sword if you don't want them. Make the withdraw ingot screen. Use the remembered selection instead of resetting each time. Add quick start options on the burial armor anvils. Additional and consumable uses for respect. Streamlining the creation process for ceremonial swords, reducing the number of clicks, and review the experience and cost balancing throughout all activities. I think this is overdue, because I remember the artisan's workshop as being expensive, and you're just better off doing, you know, traditional smithing, right?
I guess.
So, if we can, you know, have a certain range of XP, maybe from 70 to 80-ish, maybe a little bit beyond 80, where the artisan's workshop is the preferred method, I think that would be pretty good. Because I would definitely like to use that thing, but it was just too expensive back in the day. And making ceremonial swords was very, very tedious. And
yes,
you're better off to just go and, you know, smith gold with the goldsmithing gauntlets. So, very important to take note of this if you're going to be training smithing at any time in the near future. And you can, of course, find a link to this in our show notes at update.rsbnb.com. All right, so behind the scenes video, minigame spotlight and the ninja team. So this is the update coming next week in which they'll be introducing the mechanic to encourage people to get out and about and play the minigames. Ones they specifically mentioned are Castle Wars, Soul Wars, Trouble Brewing, and I believe I also saw Pest Control in there as well.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah, that's good. You remember when we were doing those Trouble Brewing events, how long it took people to get going and whatnot, and we could really only do Trouble Brewing with our own people that were there?
Yep. Well. Yeah.
Okay. I honestly think that having a minigame focus is going to be a good thing, because there's so many minigames out there that people need a little bit of a push to go to a certain minigame, because, well, what's the point in going to a minigame if you have no friends online? Unless you're going to get a little subtle
friends
nudge by Jagex.
Friends or XP waste.
Yeah, I imagine that would be, you know, one of the things that some people say in RS. But I'm glad to see that, you know, a new generation of people get to learn about things like Trouble Brewing and Pest Control and that kind of thing. Because way back when, I don't know if...
Back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day, there used to be a thing called a pest control product. Someone who, you know, would level up purely through pest control and would have unbalanced stats and whatnot. And...
All right. No, we're not getting into this.
Well, no.
No.
You don't even know where I'm going. I'm not saying it's a problem.
I've had enough of that for a lifetime. I'm glad they're gone. Let's not talk about pures, Shane.
They were never in my mind at all, and that's not where we're going with this.
You just mentioned pure. That's bullshit.
No, I said not
anyway.
In that I hope Fishing Trawler gets on this list. How's that? How's that for a change?
Think you're fishing for something there.
What about Fish Flingers?
I still play that.
Oh, really? How does that go?
Get more XP an hour than normal fishing.
Oh, good.
Get like 20k XP in 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's good. And you can do it once a day, right?
Like 10 times a day.
Oh, good. Very nice. Oh,
boy.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the overlooked ones. I know the summoning one with pickup sticks and pick and mix, that one is also hard to get to, so they're going to be cleaning that up as well. And that's something that anybody who's collecting summoning charms wants to do, because you can get an hour of triple charms from that.
Yeah?
And if you're collecting them, and say, I mean, well, you can do the math. Lots of crimson charms in an hour. All right.
Yay.
So we will definitely be looking forward to that next week. Also, a bit of a profile of the ninja team in here. We saw what Mod Timbo looks like, because he actually joined the ninja team recently. And I don't think we've ever seen a photo of him before. So that was nice seeing Mod Timbo. He's the one who balances the game and keeps everything in a nice equilibrium.
Yay, Mod Timbo.
Of course. And this week, Jagex says farewell to one of their J-Mods. in my view, one of their J-Mods who was instrumental in the early stages of, let's say, the fansite support system. That is Mod Jane. Mod Jane is leaving Jagex. And you, a lot of you guys probably out there don't know this, but Mod Jane actually took a very big leap when the fansite program first started and ran various conference calls with a whole bunch of fansites. Of course, these only happened a few times, and the fansite program has changed a lot since then, but Mod Jane was very useful for that and was a very, very friendly person. So we're glad that she was at Jagex.
Mm-hmm.
So we wish her well. Alrighty, so we're done with RS for now, unless there's anything else you guys would like to mention.
I got nothing.
How about you,
Mr.
Are
we truly done with RS, though?
No, we're not, actually.
No.
Because we need to have a listen to Paul.
No!
Yes.
This week, Paul is back, and he's going to be talking about portable skilling stations. How useful they can be for getting a very good amount of profit and a little bit of an XP boost. So have a listen to this.
Hello, everyone. This is Silver's 9, PFK 99s from RSB&B. This is the RuneScape Need to Know series, where we take a look at features you may have missed or forgotten. Either way, hope you learned something useful. Last time, we took a look at aquariums, and this time we'll be looking at the portable skilling stations. Portable skilling stations were introduced in the summer of 2014 via Treasure Hunter as a way to get more experience and various bonuses from training certain skills. There are currently four types that can currently be won, with each providing unique bonuses to their respective skills. Each will last 5 minutes and can generally be placed anywhere a fire can be lit. Additionally, they are visible and usable by any other player, so sharing can both cut down on cost and provide a nice benefit to those near you. The Portable Forge grants a 10% additional experience to the smithing actions, excluding smelting corrupted ore. This includes both smelting ores into bars as well as smithing those bars into items. Additionally, the furnace will provide a 5% chance of producing an additional bar while smelting, and a 10% chance of saving a bar while smithing. This is on a per bar basis rather than a per item basis, i.e. a pleat body with 5 bars each has a 10% chance per bar not to use any particular bar. This is a portable forge. It will last 5 minutes, and we will deploy it. There it is. A portable range grants an additional 21% more cooking experience, along with a 5% chance of doubling your cooked food. This is a portable range. We'll deploy that for also 5 minutes. The portable sawmill will grant a 10% discount to making planks, as well as a 4 to 10% chance, depending on the plank or the log that you are using, chance of getting a proteon plank rather than a normal plank. It is the cheapest one to purchase. And here is the portable sawmill. The portable well, another very popular one, it grants 10% additional experience in herb lore, as well as granting a 5% chance of creating an additional potion. Additionally, an infinite supply of vials of water can be obtained by the well, although this is not particularly useful. Here is the portable well. The portable well, forge, and cooking range thing are all around 25, 27,000 GP each, while the sawmill is cheap at around 6, at least at current prices. They often pay for themselves quite easily with the resources that you save. The unofficial world for these is World 2, near the Berthort Bank, where I am currently. But I can't be in World 2 and also record. It is extremely laggy. If you do go there, just be mindful of that. So, get out there, gain some additional experience, have fun. I'm Silverwoods9, PFK99s from RSB&B. See you next week.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. There's another fine segment done by Paul, PFK99s. If you want to see the video version, that can be found at youtube.com/RSBNBstaff.
It's finally over.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel like that. Anyways, questions. Let's start with the questions, shall we?
Questions, questions, questions.
All right, so our first one is from Colton. Good evening, Shane, and welcome back to our honey-voiced Southerner. Here are this week's questions. What is your absolute favorite breakfast cereal and why? How many pairs of shoes do you actually wear on a regular basis? Are you a wizard and wake up with only one alarm in the morning? Or do you need several? If so, how many do you set on average to wake yourself from slumber? Dog or cat? And do you believe the new reward shop for minigames to introduce a universal minigame currency will encourage people to play more types of minigames, or will it simply encourage one particular minigame to be crowded and all the rest to sit untouched? That is all. And that is from Colton.
What, only five questions?
All right, Shane, what's your favorite breakfast cereal?
I can't do cereal mainly because they require milk. So
What?
You know, yeah.
No, they don't. I don't eat any of my cereal with milk.
Okay, then.
You can also have it with orange juice.
Whoa. That's even more disgusting.
What?
That's even more disgusting. But, if I had to choose, I'd have to say Rice Krispies with a dash of sugar.
Mine's probably just Cheerios. I don't know. I don't do it with milk. Don't need any of that.
Okay.
Going dry, as it were. What about you, Patrick?
Wow.
Why are Cheerios so funny?
Cheerio.
Cheerio, mate.
That. Right, Pat?
Yeah, indeed. As for my breakfast cereal, I actually don't normally have breakfast cereal. I kind of stopped having breakfast cereal around my last year of high school, actually. That would be about 7 years ago. Oh, God, I'm getting old. But when I used to have Vector cereal a lot. That was pretty good. But I've got a funny...
Did it set your day off on the right vector?
I thought you said you weren't trying to be funny, Shane. That was pretty funny to me.
Do you know what a vector is?
Of course
it's
I know
It's a direction.
Jeez.
Okay.
Shane.
It's velocity with a direction.
Yes.
But I do actually have a really funny story about one of my best friends who I've known since high school. In his room, he has a computer desk, like much of us do. But in one of the drawers, he has cereal for whenever he gets hungry. He just reaches into the drawer and then just starts eating it. I kid you not. We thought he was joking about this when he told us, so we actually went in there one day. And lo and behold, we opened up the drawer and there's just a bowl of cereal just sitting in his drawer.
Oh, okay, so it's in a bowl. It's not in, like, the actual drawer, like at the bulk bins you find at the grocery store.
No. It's just in the bowl, and then in behind it is the box, right?
Oh,
sitting sideways.
See,
he just pours it into the bowl and just eats it by hand as a snack or something like that. Really strange, but...
I thought you meant, like, a whole drawer, that he would open it up and then just grab from it and then shut the drawer, you know?
I don't know, maybe sometimes he does that when he gets lazy, I don't know. Still pretty funny, I think.
Yeah. Alright. Okay, well, I guess on to number two then.
Shane, how many pairs of shoes do you actually wear on a regular basis?
One.
Pat?
I wear two. I've got my normal running shoes that I wear, and then I've got my work shoes that I am forced to wear because I have to wear, you know, black non-slip shoes at work. But if it was my choice, I'd just have one myself. But, two it is.
All right, so I have four? I have just normal tennis shoes, and then I have some Sperry's for, like, casual nice. Or, alternatively, if I'm lazy and don't want to put on tennis shoes, I can just slip my Sperry's on. It's nice and quick. And then I have, like, nice dress shoes, and then picked this habit up after living in a freshman dorm, flip-flops for whenever I go to the bathroom. So, I don't know if that actually counts as wearing, but...
Do you still wear the flip-flops to the bathroom when you're at home?
Sometimes, but only because it's a habit, not like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good to me. And numero
three. So, Shane,
three.
Are you a wizard?
No.
So,
but there is a Harry Potter movie marathon on this weekend.
Oh, I should watch it. At least the first part of the first movie.
Uh-huh. So, Shane, you can't wake up with only one alarm in the morning?
Oh, I can wake up with none, actually. I can, you know...
Well, so can everyone else.
No. This is a true story. If I want to wake up at a certain time, I can say to myself when I go to bed, I'm going to wake up at such and such a time, and I will wake up plus or minus 15 minutes from that time.
Introducing the Apple Eye Shane.
No, seriously, I can do it without any hardware. just let's be true here, in that I can wake up whenever I need to wake up, just by telling myself when to wake up, but in a situation where it needs to be an exact time, one alarm is sufficient.
All right. So,
but I just want to say, I highly recommend
everyone give it a try.
Just give it a try. It's kind of like lucid dreaming.
You mean that's not what I'm doing right now?
I only missed one class this semester. I only overslept one time. So I'm proud of that, and I'm going to keep it like that. So I'm going to keep using alarms. I use two-ish. Sometimes I only need one, but I have the other two set up as a backup. So I use something on my old iPhone 4 called Sleep Cycle. And it monitors, like, how asleep or awake you are. Because if you're in deep sleep, you're not moving. And then if you're like dreaming, you're moving around a bunch, and it uses the accelerometer to pick all of that up. And it'll start waking you up. Like, say you have an alarm set for 6 a.m., it'll start waking you up slightly. Like, it'll make a little noise or something just to sort of gradually get you out of that deep sleep. And then once it hits 6, it'll actually go off. And then I have just a regular alarm set for about 2 minutes after that's set to go off. So the phone actually woke me up, but the alarm is like, hey, you need to get out of bed now.
Yeah.
Then I have some set on my phone in 15-minute increments after that.
And you bring up a good point in that if you want to do what I do, you know, when you need to wake up at a certain time, it's very worthwhile to time your sleeping so that you're sleeping on your REM cycles and you're due to wake up. I find it easier to wake myself up without an alarm if it's on one of those cycles.
Yep. All right. Pat?
I just use the one alarm, and normally I will wake up about 10 to 15 minutes before the alarm anyways, and then I just sigh dejectedly and get up 15 minutes early, and then I just sit there and just think about life and what I'm doing, and then why did I get up 15 minutes early when I could have gone back to sleep? But then in my mind, I know I wouldn't have been able to. I would have laid there and I would have wasted 15 minutes talking about it to myself. And then at the end of it, I just figure, hey, might as well just go on to the next question. So, Shane, dog or cat?
Neither if they're going to make me allergic. But cats are
so
really
like,
annoying.
Get a dog and it like, when you're asleep one night, it just does something to you that makes you allergic to them?
No, I mean, like, there are dogs you can get that don't make them, or that don't make, that are hypoallergenic, you know, or something like that.
Oh, Benadryl made a dog.
Oh, I wish they did. I wish they did. But, you know, there's this problem with cats. They always come to the people who are the most allergic to them.
No, they come to the people who are most uncomfortable with them.
Yeah, because my nose
they
starts
can
to, you know.
Your weakness.
Yeah. Like, every time I go to Mike's place, a cat tries to climb on me. And
at least it doesn't vomit on you to get attention.
Well, it's very painful in the nose and the eyes from all the cat flies.
A little background there. One of Mike's cats will vomit, like, on the floor to get attention. So, yeah.
And
there
other,
you go.
Other background for anybody who doesn't know. Mike is the other site owner of RSBNB.
The better owner.
Hey.
Sorry. I'm dying.
Are you okay?
No, I'm Reed.
R.I.P. in peace.
Rip in peace.
Oh, boy. All rip right, let's continue on.
As for me, I prefer dogs to cats, although I don't dislike cats, but I just find dogs are infinitely friendlier and more likable creatures.
Well, they want to make people happy. That's why.
Correct.
They're bred to do that. Mm. Cats are just more natural in that way. Though you could argue then the cats are better.
So, as for the reward shop, yeah, I think it's going to cause one of them to be really crowded, and then nobody's going to go to the rest of them.
Reed, you never said dog or cat.
I said dog multiple times, or at least heavily implied it.
Okay.
Why do you keep dogging us on this, Shane? Glee!
Hey, well, yo. I would have to if you didn't give me a straight answer, but...
All right, so...
Shane, stop being so catty about it.
But yeah, you know, I completely agree in that it's going to go based on whichever minigame they're currently supporting. We're not going to see all the minigames see more support, maybe in the first couple weeks, but after we're going to go back, you know, to the standard that we have right now, and it's going to be necessary for them to rotate them and keep the rewards fresh in this store.
But will it be funky fresh?
Huh?
I guess not.
I've never heard that before, but okay.
I never heard of such a thing.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Thank you, Colton. Pardon what we got going on here. I know it seems like these two are kind of losing it already, but that's okay.
We haven't lost.
We're
our
not losing
yet.
It. This is just how we normally act. We haven't actually lost it yet.
Yeah.
We'll let you know when that happens. I'm sure it'll be somewhere in the show notes at update.rspnb.com.
Flawless.
Thank you. I try.
You succeeded.
All right. The next one is from Thieves, which I will be happy to read. And he says, is it just me, or does it feel like we see more 200 mil comp max accomplishments in the in-game news feed than the regular 99 achievements? Do you think that true skill mastery, aka 120s, should be something that Jagex considers for the near future? Or do you have another suggestion that would keep the game fresh for this now comp-heavy game? Keep up the good work, fellas. That's from Thieves. P.S. To respond to the question on 515, I'd plump for a three-piece thieving outfit that allowed elf-like thieving to the rest of Gilinor. Seems slightly OP, but anything to get people out of priftiness and stealing elsewhere again would be fantastic. I completely agree with that, Thieves. Too many people rely on priftiness for way too many things. But anyways, to answer your question, yeah, you know, I completely agree with you. I see lots of maxing and 200 mil and those kind of achievements coming up every day. So I definitely think that something does need to be done past 99, because so many people have 99s now. And, you know, you could put the 120s in the newsfeed like that if you so wanted to. But I think that would be more of a short-term solution than addressing the actual problem. What I would like to see is I would like to see the prestige mode polled once again, this time using the in-game polling system, and have it described in a much more elegant way than it was before. Because what we saw with the previous time we ran a poll on the prestige system is it wasn't well described, and there were just too many knee-jerk reactions to it from people that created significant opinions in the game, and that just spread throughout the entire community. I believe I called that FUD back then.
I think that accomplishments are only accomplishments if we feel they are accomplishments. So therefore, if they're promoting something that doesn't feel like an accomplishment, then we would obviously have issue with that. But thing is, what may be accomplishment for someone may be, you know, really easy for someone else. So, I mean, it's all subjective, I suppose. So there's not really any way you can really, you know, do anything about that, because everyone will always have different interests.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be clear here. There's lots of people who don't have 99s in RS. I'd say the vast majority of people don't have 99s in RS. We just hear about 99s more. We see 99s more because of the skill capes and whatnot. And lots of people really want to get their first 99. So maybe what we need to be doing is, rather than looking inward at, you know, the achievement and saying, oh, so-and-so got 99 divination, so-and-so got 99 fishing, we go forward and, you know, actually add content to the higher ends of the skills past 95 and at 99, and maybe make little things so that the skill cape, if you're wearing them, can take you up to level 100 and you can have special end game only things at level 100 in various skills. I think that would maybe bring back some achievement in actually getting 99s. So there's my two ideas on that one. How about you there, Earth?
I've got nothing else to offer that you guys haven't already said.
All right. And you know, I mean, you can have the most odd-looking thing sitting on your desk, but if it came from a special person and it has special significance, that's good. That's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And same thing goes for 99s in RS. It's all in the eye of the beholder. I feel that was a very Zen, forward-looking like thing to say. And we're going to move on to Devo's question now. But thank you, Thieves.
Alrighty, so this next question is from Devo. Shane, Earth, and Kulla, what is your opinion on games that include multiplayer or time-sensitive achievements? I consider myself to be a completionist and try to 100% my favorite titles. For example, I was able to do this with Assassin's Creed 2, but once Brotherhood and subsequent AC titles were released, there were quite a bit of multiplayer achievements, and obscure ones at that. The difficulty isn't the problem, it's the fact that no one played the multiplayer after a month of release, not to mention so many companies taking their servers offline after a year or two. Forza 4 has a few time-sensitive ones as well, such as receiving a car as a gift through events and whatnot. Turn 10 has since discontinued involvement with said events, so most people are out of luck, unless they have a friend. I feel like I have to purchase a game day one and hop straight into the multiplayer in order to snag all the online achievements before they become unattainable. I realize I'm in the minority by caring about achievements and 100%ing games too. Should developers stray away from the online achievements if it's going to be impossible to obtain within a year or so, or should completionists just remain vigilant and snag up time-sensitive achievements as quickly as possible? Keep up the great work, gentlemen.
Multiplayer achievements piss me off.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Quite a bit. Looking at you, Halo games, Halo 3 in particular.
What's wrong with Halo 3?
incredibly situational achievements for multiplayer. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but it's... And time-sensitive ones are also irritating, but they're really irritating if, like, you can't get it after a certain point, but it still shows up there. And, I mean, that also goes with the servers offline thing, but, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, so many game developers think that in doing that they're going to entice people to play, but, I mean, unless you really, really want that achievement, it's not going to entice people, and it's just going to make more people mad, like us casuals here.
Well, it's also annoying for, you know, game companies that have a game that comes out, you know, every year or two. People are going to flock to the new game, and they're going to leave the old one behind. This happens quite frequently with, like, the Call of Duty games, or Battlefield, Assassin's Creed, and even other such multiplayer games, you know? So once the new game is out, no one's going to really care about the achievements for the other one. So if it's multiplayer-based, then there's not going to be many people around that will, you know, be able to help you do that.
Most recent online... Oh, sorry, go ahead. Finish.
But my opinion of these is that I personally don't really care about achievements because they're arbitrary goals set by the gaming company. So I feel like a true achievement would be, you know, beating a level on a really tough difficulty that you've never been able to do before. You don't usually get an achievement for that. Sometimes you do, I suppose, but, you know, the real achievement is, you know, knowing you did something rather than having something on the game that says you did that. I think the real problem is where you have achievements that unlock certain things that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. That's where the real problem is, because if you can't do them anymore, then those items or events or whatever, they're locked forever, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want to have to play a game just because of the achievements and whatnot, and if that's what developers are resorting to, then, I mean, maybe it's a lack of content in the game. I know the last online achievement I got online on the Xbox for NHL 15 was the Wrecking Ball achievement. I toppled 3 players with a single hit.
That rarely happens.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, you know, completely agree with you here, and so many places take their servers offline. It's almost as though game companies would be better off charging a subscription for their game franchise, so you always have the most up-to-date version.
No, do not do that. No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Don't give them ideas. They listen.
What do you do with the outdated piece of plastics that have no servers running?
What?
Like, what do you do with old games that have no servers running?
You can't.
I know, so what do you do with
that? That's the issue!
I know, and that's why I set a subscription, but evidently that's bad.
No. No. No subscription-based games. Do not want.
Give them for free if someone buys a newer game in that title.
For instance,
if someone buys the newest Assassin's Creed game, you have a promo where they can get the first one or the second one for free, you know, something like that. That would be cool. That way,
yeah, that works.
Any obsolete games or, you know, games that have been out for a while, people can still get them and enjoy them, and it still builds your brand, right? So from a business standpoint, it even works, because otherwise they probably wouldn't buy it anyways, right?
Yeah, and I mean, okay then, let's completely forget the subscription idea. That's a bad idea. I never said such a thing.
You never said such a thing?
All right. Thank you, Dave. Anything else on this one?
Nope.
Very well, then. Last question.
This question is from my roommate, Art of Dvorak. Hi, Shane. Other than me, who is your favorite person to talk to? Hi, Reed. Other than me, who is your least favorite person to talk to? Hi, all. First computer game ever played on your most recent PC?
My most favorite person to talk to, other than Reed, sorry, Patrick, would have to be Mike.
Other than Andrew.
Oh, other than me. Oh, yeah, still Mike.
Other than yourself, Shane?
Still Mike?
Talk to yourself.
Yeah.
No, I can understand that. He doesn't bug you as much as I do.
But don't worry, well, both you two are still up there.
If we're going with the real definition of... Because Andrew is not my least favorite person to talk to. Otherwise, I wouldn't be living with him. Least favorite person to talk to. Kyle. No one else here is going to know that person. But Andrew knows. This person thinks he knows things about technology, and it just... It's to the point where when I see him, I feel angry. Because he's so... He's so stupid. And I'm gonna stop talking about that because I'm going to get
you're
angry.
Starting to feel angry.
Because stupid people really bother me when they think they know what they're talking about.
Well, you heard it here.
All right, so what is your first computer game that you have played on your most recent PC? Shane?
Battlefield 3.
Patrick?
God, is there a way to check this? I've got so many games installed, but I have no idea. All right.
I'm just going to guess and say Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, that could be mine, too.
I'm going to guess and say StarCraft 2, because I feel like that was one of the ones that I installed first, because we were doing that back then so much, you know? It's also the first game in my... list on my desktop, if that makes any difference, so followed by Audio Surf, so which I think was I installed fairly early on as well to play to listen to music when I hadn't had it transferred over yet.
Alright. Sounds good. So that's Battlefield 3 / TF2 for me, TF2 for Reed, and StarCraft for Patrick, and I should also say to both of you guys here that I do really enjoy talking to you guys as well.
Aww.
We enjoy talking to you, Shane.
Good.
You provide a lot of different insight that we would never think of.
That's my job.
Also,
anyways,
you're unintentionally hilarious.
Oh, thanks. All right, well, if anybody wants to send questions in like these fine individuals did, you can email us audio questions, which we like. We didn't get any this week. Just send them to questions@rsbnb.com. Or if you have a telephone, you can phone them in to 571-572-2632. And, of course, update.rsbnb.com/ask is your go-to place for asking questions. So if you want to ask us a question, you can, of course, just go there. update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right, on to tech news we go.
Did you see it? Did you see that the Skype like translator thing?
No.
No? It's Hey, Mandarin. We could try that with Trekkie.
Indeed, we could.
We should try that. That'd be really fun.
I wonder if it works for Klingon.
It says in the article, the app can also translate instant message conversations in more than 50 languages, including the oh-so-geeky favorite Klingon. Did you read that, or was that just an attempt at a joke?
That was an actual legitimate question, believe it or not.
I like how that was a legitimate question.
Clearly, other people have asked legitimate questions about it, too. Otherwise, they wouldn't have mentioned it. Oh, Shane. You're so funny.
Thank you. Thank you.
See, this is what I meant by unintentionally hilarious.
That'll be cool. So do you think they're going to put that, like, they're going to put that in real Skype eventually?
Oh, yeah, they'd
right?
have to. I mean, it's a Microsoft product, so.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't, you know, just see the light of day and go poof, disappear. And I mean, Microsoft has definitely shown they want to go down this path in the past. So it's definitely a notable thing, and it goes with, you know, Microsoft's whole newly introduced platform agnostic strategy, where they just don't care whether you're
speaking real.
Shane, you're in podcast mode still. The show's over.
Well, if
but
we're
it's a
do
legitimate
that,
question.
What do you think, Mike? What's your opinion on this? Shane's giving us his.
It's a legitimate thing, though, because that's where Microsoft is going.
Mike,
they don't
what do
care
you
if you're an iOS, an Android, or a Windows Phone.
Still going.
What do you think, Mike?
Don't care.
You don't care. All right.
I'm sorry. I had no say in this. This just happened.
So, yeah.
We're still recording the show. They wanted to bring you in for tech news.
I see.
We hijacked you into the show.
And I evidently forgot that I was still in podcast mode.
Oh, that was great.
I did my goal of getting on you on the show in 2015.
Okay.
You have anything else you'd like
Shane
to say to our fine listeners?
And Shane ruins it by staying in podcast mode.
Yes.
Tipping Mike off.
I should have known.
You should have. Especially when Reed goes, oh, hey, what do you think about this? Wow.
It wasn't my idea.
Yeah, we kind of coerced Shane into it. But while you're here, Mike, what have you been doing recently?
Maybe
that's wrong. Wrong point of the show. But
what do you mean? This isn't a show. We're just talking to our good friend Mike.
So what about Windows 10 editions that were announced?
Well, there's a whole selection of Windows 10 editions that are going to be coming with the OS this summer, including Home, Mobile, Pro, Enterprise, Education, Mobile, Enterprise. A whole lot of them.
They should have called it Starship Enterprise, I'm just saying.
It's their flagship.
It's so perfect.
Why can there not just be two? Server and for everyone. You think they'd have learned by now.
Windows E for everyone.
For S for server.
So what version?
Yeah, did you see at the top of this list it says translate with Bing? Maybe next it'll be translate with Skype. That's funny.
I'm going for Pro. How about you guys?
I am a Pro.
I'm at home, so I'll probably go for Home.
I at home.
I am.
Well, of
home.
Course, we're all at home, but I mean, Home just looks like it's going to be as it was in previous versions. I mean, I don't think I need Pro, but Home, I guess, would work.
I still have Vista on my laptop, I'm just saying.
Nice.
That's my version of Reed's using the iPhone as a paperweight. Telling Shane I've got Vista on the laptop.
I honestly just wish that they'd have made this simpler with Windows 10, because, I mean, if this is going to be the way we're going with Windows for the future, you might as well just simplify the version so that you just have Home and Server and Mobile and be good to go. fine.
So what do you think, Mike? What are you getting?
I think they should bring back Windows CE and call it Community Edition and open source it.
Wait, what?
Is that serious?
No.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
Windows CE. I'm never serious.
I'm never serious. Wasn't CE like embedded?
Yeah, it was. It was used on the Dreamcast, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, also lots of thin client PCs used it. It was the thing of the late 90s. I think it was based on either 98 or NT4. But that's what Windows CE is. And there's your Windows history lesson.
Still releasing stuff for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, yeah, either home or pro for me. And, I mean, you really don't have much choice for your phone, do you?
What?
Either mobile or mobile enterprise.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
If
all right.
You're going for matter. A Windows phone, I suppose.
Now,
I do.
There's lots of different choices of phones, though.
Yeah.
Now, a question I have is, will the Surface run home, pro, or mobile?
Run whatever installed on it, but it won't run mobile, I think, because it's a real computer, remember? It's not like an iPad, which pretends to be a computer, but actually can't live up to it.
Believe it or not, iPads are very capable devices once they've been given the right applications.
I've used one.
All right, well...
And edit it out.
Well, as I said, we'll be seeing more of this coming this summer. But everybody remember who's listening currently. If you have Windows 7 or Windows 8, or any device that runs Windows 8, you do get to upgrade to Windows 10 for free for the first year after Windows 10 launches. And from what I've seen, and I think what you've seen, Reed, Windows 10 is going to be a nice upgrade that everybody should jump on, right?
Yes.
I mean, it feels like finally Windows 10 is what that preview way back when of Windows Longhorn should have actually been. Longhorn was the code name for Vista, and they had to make so many course corrections on that they just ended up cutting features and whatnot. And Vista was actually going to be, I think, and want to say what Windows 10 is currently, except well, Windows 10 is the modern version of that, so to speak. So,
except good.
Yes, and if you want to see what Longhorn was, just Google Windows Longhorn, search for videos. There's a good number of Microsoft videos about that. All
yay.
Right. Now, moving on to our final piece of tech news here. Facebook has started publishing articles for the New York Times and BuzzFeed, just to name a few. So Facebook is a publishing platform nowadays. You no longer need to leave the safe and comfy environment that people say Facebook is to get your daily dose of BuzzFeed or the New York Times.
Yay. Yeah,
because everyone wants a daily dose of BuzzFeed, that's for sure.
Shoot
I know.
Me now.
Oh, I know people that browse BuzzFeed daily, but... there's some video in this story at Recode.net that looks actually pretty good in their presentation of it, which, I mean, I think that's going to be the whole upshot of this is the presentation and the fact that people can get these stories without having to go to third-party websites and, you know, just see what's popular with friends and then subscribe to the source if they so like it. I don't know if this is the way of the future, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess. What do you guys think?
It's happening. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be an article on BuzzFeed saying 15 ways that Facebook's new publishing program is really great. You'll love number 3.
What's number 3?
You don't know until you click the article, which is conveniently separated into 15 separate pages for each one.
All right. Anyways, it doesn't look very onerous for the publishers either. Facebook's letting publishers keep 100% of the revenue that they sell for these instant articles. The instant article publishers also get access to performance data, which is, of course, provided by Google Analytics and Adobe's Omniture. Never heard of that one before, but anyways. ComScore will give instant article publishers full credit for any traffic that these stories generate through Facebook, and that has been one of the issues before. Yes. Shane.
Explain like I'm five.
Well, it just basically means that if you click on something on Facebook, back in the olden days, Facebook was given credit for that instead of, say, BuzzFeed or the New York Times.
So basically, publishers get all the monies, and like they're not losing any of the, what is it, ranking or whatever?
Yes.
Like traffic
Correct.
Ranking? Okay.
Yes.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all there is to it. I mean, granted, this is very early days. I would highly expect Facebook to reach its tendrils into this with algorithms and, you know, suggestions and whatnot and providing things to you and, you know, influencing the news and whatnot like Facebook wants to do. So just be wary of that. Anyways, yeah. Anything else on this before we move on?
Nope.
Are you going to write a RSBN V Informer article about how we should be worried about Facebook?
Well, you can extend the Google one to that, yes, but anyways.
I'll just retroactively edit Google with Facebook.
You will edit Google. Yeah. Alright, so May skill of the month.
What do we got?
Tim, unsurprisingly, is in first place with 9 million experience gained, and Poison Nova is keeping pace with 8 million XP gained, and then it jumps down to Parnassius and BXP Prod with 1.1 and 1 million XP each.
It jumps all the way down to 8th on the list with some guy called Earth with
I spent the first like week under the impression that it was a crafting skill of the month. Because that's the other skill that I need to train. So I got
crafting
like 500k crafting XP, and I was like, yeah, I'm doing great. And then I looked at this, and it's like, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Crafting was actually February.
Mm. Meh. All right, so all puns in game. RS love for wordplay. What is that?
Yeah, what's that about, Patrick?
Oh, it's a new Informer article by our very own Lord Rickles, who goes by Mason on Informer, and is talking about all sorts of different wordplay and puns and all the sorts of things that I love in RuneScape, which is actually really cool. So go have a read. It's on somewhere on informer.rsbn.be.com.
Or you can go to the show notes. Hey, yeah. Mike. How about you read off the achievements of the week?
I think you guys scared him away.
He just left!
I was on the call.
You just left.
I told you you'd do that.
I told you this was not a good idea.
Classic Mike.
It was
Mike I told
scared,
you this was
guys.
Not a good...
He
no,
work.
He is not.
We just have to lure him back out with a piece of meat or something.
I'm just really tired.
Oh my gosh. I said this wasn't a good idea.
I did not agree to be on the podcast.
Exactly!
So Mike, while you're here, how about you read off the achievements of the week that I pasted in the Skype chat?
Okay, the achievements of the week. Jamandi 52, 99 runecrafting, May 14th. Jamandi 52, 99 divination, May 11th. Fast Wesley, 99 woodcutting, May 9th. And Tim 2, 99 thieving, May 9th.
These guys
Good job, everyone.
Feel special because they... Mike read that for them. And that's a rare occurrence.
If you say so.
All right, so my pick is something called Uma. Uma is it's a voiceover IP phone system, and my family moved over from AT&T landline to this, and we saved about $70 a month, and we have unlimited calling throughout the United States, and we are paying $5.01 per month, and all of that is just like charges from the FCC and 911 and all of that.
That's very nice.
Yes, it is. All you have to do is buy this little box. It's like $90.
I wonder if we have such a thing in Canada.
I think you do, but I think you can use this in Canada as well, because I can with if you get like the premium version, you pay like $10 a month. You get unlimited calling throughout the U.S., Canada, and I think Mexico too. And I mean, it's unlimited, quote unquote, but it's like 35,000 minutes, which is just under 25 days. So if you're going to be spending over 25 days a month on the phone, then you might need to look at something else and get someone to check you out.
And I assume it has 911 and all that security stuff, right?
Yes, it does have 911. When you sign up, you put in your address so that if you call 911, they'll know where you're coming from.
And you get to keep a local number, too, like the same area code, right?
We were able to transfer our number over. I installed all of this today, on Friday. And you have to pay, like, a $40 charge to get your phone moved over, your phone number moved over. And that'll be done on Wednesday. So, like, 5 days-ish?
Good. Good.
To transfer your phone over. So in those 5 days, you're not going to be able to take any calls. But
That's nice. We get so many telemarketers here.
Yeah, that's another thing. You can make a blacklist, and you can have people on that blacklist. Like, there's a community one, which I presume has a bunch of telemarketers and stuff. You can make it continuously ring, play like a number disconnected message, have it go straight to voicemail, stuff like that. and you can also do call forwarding. So like someone calls your house, you don't pick up, it can send that over to your cell phone.
Ooh.
Let's see. What else?
This seems like a very modern a phone system, and to me it's a wonder why, you know, the big telcos haven't really killed this off yet.
Because they're trying. I bet they're trying. You can also listen to your voicemail online at my.uma.com. And it can show call logs, ingoing, outgoing, missed. You can add contacts, so like instead of my cell phone saying wireless caller when I call the house, it can say read, and it'll display that on the caller ID on the phone. Now, it also, it does have caller ID as well, just normal.
That's good. Very good.
Let's see, what else?
Now let's talk downsides. So the power goes out, cable modem goes out, you have no phone service.
Correct.
But cell phones, right?
Yes. That is the only downside to this that I was able to find. Power goes out, you're boned.
Yeah.
But...
And they do have a version en français for those of you guys living in Quebec or New Brunswick.
So, can you get it in Canada?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Are you going to be moving?
I don't believe so. And
Another thing. So, I don't actually have, like, a phone plugged in my room, which is where the UMA box is, because all the internet stuff is up here. But it just plugs into your router, and then it's voice over IP. But I have a wireless phone in my room, but the main station is somewhere downstairs. All I did, plugged the UMA box into the router, and then I went to the phone jack on the wall in my room, and I ran a phone wire to it and plugged it in, and now it works throughout the house.
Wow.
So you don't just need to buy this box and you can only have one phone. It can be distributed throughout your entire house. But you need to go outside and disconnect your phone, like the phone line coming in, because the reason that your phone works after the power goes out, just a normal landline, is because there's power coming through that line. But if that's still going when you plug this in, the power's still going through, it'll do bad things to the box, and you don't want
oh,
that.
Yeah. I completely believe that. I mean, yeah, this is a nice thing, but I personally need to find some handsets that work and don't cut out half the time. That's going to be a mission for me in the next couple weeks, because ours are just really, really unreliable. But
wait,
that's a
what?
Topic for... Oh, our,
oh, like
our,
the physical our... phones themselves, yeah. Not like your service.
Yeah. No,
oh, okay.
Service is good. But anyways, that's good.
Are you paying
that's
more good. Than $5.01 a month?
Yes.
Hey, you yes. should switch.
Oh, yeah. All for saving money.
I think I can, yes, I can refer a friend. So I will get a link for you guys, because I like, you do that. You guys get that's a $40 discount on the, device from like $130 to $90. So you save that and then I get a $20 credit, so that's really cool. I like that. I'm going to share this with you guys.
I see why you're so wanting to share that now.
No, I just noticed the refer a friend thing.
Oh, you'd make a good Ferengi. Anyways, all right, so what have we been doing? Let's start with you.
It's mutually beneficial. They save $40, I get $20 credit. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Nothing, but let's start with Patrick. What have you been up to, Mr.
I'm
Pinball?
Not done.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
done.
Come on, give him another 10 minutes to talk about
God,
it.
God, Shane, this is the first pick of the week I've actually been excited about.
All right, cover your bases.
We can proceed.
No, cover your bases. I insist.
No.
Okay,
Patrick,
what have, you been,
what
up
have
to?
You been doing? Actually, no. Mike, what have you been doing? Let's start with our guest.
Okay. Well, right now, I'm playing Grand Theft Auto V. RSPNB-wise, I've been working on a server update for a while now. Won't be any new features to anyone that anyone will notice, but...
Just wait, though. BXP Prod will note that he is no longer capped at 2.1
okay,
billion
XP. Okay, yes, because we will finally be on a 64-bit OS.
So there will be one person that will notice a visual benefit.
So BXP Prod has successfully gotten more experience than the operating system that we are currently using can, what's the word?
Handle.
There you go.
Compute.
Does not compute.
It does not compute.
No. All
right.
Yeah, so other than that, not much. Yeah. Just work.
All right.
Just work.
Patrick,
what have you been
please.
Doing, Patrick?
Not too much interesting. Just work, eating, sleeping, playing World of Tanks, bugging Shane about, you know, things such as
no.
As the what?
NDP election. Sorry, I had something in my throat there. NDP GP election. Sorry.
Shane, what have you been doing besides electing an NDP government in Alberta?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Well, they're still there, aren't they?
Yes.
I never did that.
I never did such a thing.
No toppling of dynasties this week, but anyways, this week on RS, I have progressed past the milestone of 66 million farming XP, so the milestone marker of 120 is coming. It's less than 40 mil away, which I'm very happy about. Player-owned ports is pretty much done, and that's about it on RS, believe it or not. I would also very much like to mention the Juju farming potions, in that if anybody has spare Ugun seeds lying around in their bank, please go and plant these seeds. You will reap a huge profit, because currently a 3-dose Juju farming potion is selling for 21,825 GP market value, probably selling for a bit more. So if you have those seeds lying around, definitely go make these potions and sell them, or just use them on your herb runs. I personally make more of these potions in a day than I need, so I sell the surplus and can easily make 800,000 GP a day off these potions.
Cool.
So yeah, there's your tip of the week for free money on RS.
All right. So,
and you.
What the hell have I been doing?
The starving artist, right, as you always say.
Huh?
You're the starving artist, right?
What?
Never mind.
You always say that wrong.
Shane.
Save the earth.
All right, so I'm going to take this opportunity to plug, what is it, rsbnb.com/donate? Right, Shane?
Yes, sure.
All right, so if you like what we do, go to rsbnb.com/donate and donate to our Save the Earth Fund. That's me. I like eating. And with your help, I can. And we can also pay for, you know, things like server space or servers. And
that kind of boring stuff.
All that kind of boring stuff. But the important part is you'll be helping me. Right, Shane?
Absolutely.
The more donations we get, the higher theoretical chance we have of getting Mike on the show again.
And the higher theoretical chance we get of actually receiving money for all of the time that we have to spend with Shane.
Thanks.
I'm just kidding. I enjoy spending time with Shane.
Anyways, there's one thing I forgot to mention before we wrap this one up, and that I have finally succumbed.
That's what I was doing!
Huh? What?
You just want to get rid of me, don't
no.
you?
No! This is a good thing for you. I want to say that I finally succumbed to the pressure and joined Clan Quest.
Oh, okay. I thought you were cutting me short again.
No. Bye.
All right, so
Clan Quest is a great group of people. They enjoy quests, lore, that whole kind of thing. If there's a clan you want to join, it definitely ought to be Clan Quest, because, well, the RSBNB clan was great. It really only served the purpose of being in a clan for the sake of being in a clan.
All right.
Yes. Woo!
I'm a leader of that clan, by the way. But anyway, back to me. More important. So I'm back home now. Finished up with university for the year. Did well. So, woo. Finally, my family has joined the rest of you in the year 2005 and gotten rid of DSL. And then the UMA thing I was talking about earlier, got all that set up today. Been sick. It's not been fun. Think I'm on the tail end of that, though.
I thought it was allergies.
You're an allergy.
Oh, dear.
Um, Other than that, just been staying busy. I've been doing a lot of stuff. So, yeah.
Alrighty, well.
Hey, stop it.
Okay.
Stop
it. Okay.
You're cutting me short again.
I thought you were finished. Please, continue.
So, I also want to plug our PC gaming event. That is every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern and, what is that, 8 p.m. RSBNB time?
Yep, 7 Pacific.
7 Pacific, all right. And we play a variety of games, Team Fortress 2, Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, Garry's Mod, and Counter-Strike Global Offensive. We'd love for you guys to join us. We also have a Mumble server that you can... join us and talk to us while playing. We have our own servers. So yeah, come join us. All right,
Tuesday
Shane.
Tuesday night is a fun night.
So you can all right. Do your thing.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. This has been a very, very interesting show, and I would like to thank everyone for being here. You know, of course, we have to thank Mike for putting up with this. And once again, this was not my suggestion. But thank you for appearing and participating in Tech News and Achievements of the Week. We value your contribution, and I'm sure the listeners are very happy to see you.
We love you.
They can't see him.
Well, hear you. Same thing.
No, it's not.
Well, close enough.
Different.
What if they're deaf?
Well, then they wouldn't be listening to this. But anyways...
See, this is why we
need guys, if you like having Mike on the show, please come to rsbnb.com/forums and post on the thread for this episode and tell us what you think. If you really like Mike, please come tell us we like Mike. We might be able to convince him to come on the show again.
You can just say
the only time,
me too.
The only time he comes on the show is when I'm on vacation and he has to hold everything together.
It's true. All right, so.
Thank you for your appearance.
Okay.
Your appearance is very lovely, Mike.
And, of course, we must also thank King Kulla Patrick for appearing on the show. He is the one who edits most of the Informer articles that you guys see. And though they don't need much editing, he does spruce them up from time to time if there's a period or something like that missing. But
yeah,
thank you, Patrick. And, of course, Earth.
Do I actually get thanked?
Yes, thank you for being here. You are the main co-host that makes this all... possible. I totally enjoy doing this with you, and you are one of the most excellent co-hosts. You make this possible, because without you, there would be no co-host to do RSBNB update with.
And without you, there'd be no Mike on the show either.
Yeah, there really wouldn't be. It was all my idea. So, all right. Well, see you next week, everyone. Assuming Mike doesn't kill us all.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and if you want to hear more from me during the week, just contact me on RS. The username is Shane12088, or you can join our wider community and chat with us in Friends Chat, which is called Bits Bytes. See you next week, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone!
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.